read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Aranjana becomes a woman in his next, in the next life. Text number 11. Vayam,
Vayam,
Namam,
Namam,
Agra,
Agra,
Under the circumstances,
the elder brother of Yavanarad, known as Prajvara, sent fire to the city. Please, his younger brother, whose other name is Pure Itself. Not a very nice family, but we have to, I guess they have to live with each other. So. First book. According to the Vedic system, a dead body is set on fire. Before death, there is another fire or fever, which is called Prajvara, or Vishnu Dvara. Medical science verifies that when one's temperature is raised 107 degrees, a man nearly dies. This Prajvara, or high fever at the last state of life, places the living entity in the midst of a blazing fire. Textbook. Kasyam sandayamanayam sapura sa parishtada kautum vika kutumbinya puhata yata sanvaya. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Purandana thus became very unhappy. Purport. There are many parts of the body, the senses, the limbs, the skin, muscle, blood, marrow, etc. And all these are considered here figuratively as son, grandson, citizens, and dependents. The body is attacked by the Vishnu Dvara. The fire condition becomes so acute that sometimes one remains in a coma. This means that the body is in such severe pain that one becomes unconscious and cannot feel the miseries taking place within the body. Indeed, the living entity becomes so helpless at the time of death that our alone willing is forced to give up the body and enter another. Bhagavad Gita is stated that man made by the scientific advancement improve the temporary living conditions, but that he cannot avoid the pangs of birth, old age, disease, and death. These are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. A foolish person cannot understand the simple fact. Now people are very busy trying to find petroleum in the midst of the ocean. They are very anxious to make provisions for the future petroleum supply. They do not make any attempts to ameliorate conditions of birth, old age, disease, and death. Does a person in ignorance, not knowing anything about his own future life, certainly defeated in all his activities? Namo Vishnu Padmaya Krishna Vyasaya Vijay Srimadhyay Bhaktivedanta Swami Vinayana Namaste Saraswati Vijaya Vay Gauravana Vrishnarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi It said that the Roman Empire emperors, after they conquered kingdoms, when they came back, it would be a vast parade to honor them and their conquests. They'd have all their slaves and captors and all their possessions they took, the jewels and the weapons, and they'd all be on parade. And the head of the parade would be the Roman Emperor, and it won the victory. Along with the Roman Emperor, there would be someone else in the chariot with him, whispering to his ear that it's all temporary. It's all temporary. In order to make sure that he didn't forget that he may have conquered something, but ultimately, Mrityu Sarva Marashaham, time comes and takes everything away. We may conquer kingdoms, but ultimately time conquers everything. In the case of Kadvanga Maharaj, after conquering the demons, he was cast by the demigods what benediction do you want? And he replied, I want to know how long I have left to live. Because after all, he asked for some benediction, and he had a very short period of time left to live, then what would be the value of the benediction? If we were offered 100 million euros, but only for 100 million per second, it would mean anything. So of course, we take our lifespan as very long, out of illusion. But compared to eternity, our lifespan has no significance whatsoever. For us right now, it may seem very important, but in terms of our eternal existence, it's completely, has no significance whatsoever. But still, the Prabhupada says we're making an illusion, we're making big, big plans for accomplishing something in this world which will be as important as a babble of sea waves. If you go to the shore and you listen to the sea waves, they make a lot of noise, but they don't mean anything. Similarly, our life, although it may, as William Shakespeare said, be full of sound and fury, but ultimately it doesn't mean anything. Unless we're engaged in Krishna consciousness. And it means something if we're engaged in Krishna consciousness if we're reviving our relation with Krishna. There's already a relation with Krishna. Unfortunately, at the present time, we're more or less praying to Krishna, or desiring things that help us to get Krishna. The material world is composed of different varieties of illusions, and all of the illusions thus summarized as Ishvaraham Mohi Siddham Balavan Sukhi. Ishvaraham, I am the Lord. Perhaps we're a very small Lord, and therefore we're a humble Lord. Or we're imagining ourselves to be big, big Lord. And in any case, we're thinking ourselves to be the Lord of something. Unfortunately for us, as soon as we think like that, as soon as we identify ourselves as the Lord of some part of the material energy, however big or small, Brahma may be imagining he's the Lord of the universe. We may be imagining we're the Lord of a house, and a mouse may be imagining he's the Lord of the hole in the house. But it doesn't matter how big or small our illusion is, still, the effect of Maya remains the same. We misidentify ourselves with the material body, whether it be a mouse or a householder or a Lord Brahma, and we're forced to undergo the threefold measures. As it says in Bengali, whether you're a Kora, Kora means speed, of a Hira, Hira means diamond, or you're a Kora of a Kina, which means cucumber, still you're a thief, and you'll be punished. So as long as we have that mentality of somehow or another being a Lord or part of the material energy, therefore we're forced to remain in our material conceptions of life. And of course, we may buy some propaganda and some creating illusion on a type of illusion. Just like people are not very happy about their present illusion being in the material body, so they create a fantasy, another illusion called movies, or whatever else, video games, so they can get lost in another illusion. Because after all, you can live forever in your movie. Even the hero is killed, somehow or another he comes back in the next series. So you can have the illusion of living permanently. Of course, the movie is just some light on the screen, and the hero in the movie also eventually leaves his body permanently, never comes back to play the part again. And here it mentions that Krishna has arranged the material world in such a way that leaving the body is not the most pleasant experience. His great feelings of remorse, lamentation, separation, and pain. Although a person, in spite of all difficulties, still would remain so attached to his body that he don't want to leave it. Vipas padam kadalvir vishakam nidram. Punas punas charvatacharvananam. The body gives us some facility, some opportunity to sense gratification. And therefore, afraid if I leave my body, then my opportunity to sense gratification will also be left behind. As I mentioned, that one devotee was in power, railroad station, and when train came by, people were on the tracks. If you go to Howard railroad station, you'll find that many people sit on the tracks, smoking BDs or just. But some unfortunate person didn't leave the track when the train came by, and the train ran him over, cut his body in half. So one devotee came by and asked him if he could do anything. And the man asked, "Do you have a BD?" Vipas up to the end of life, to the last moment. They believe to gratify the senses, chintyam, apramayam, cha, palayam, dhammapajitya. They believe to gratify the senses under the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there's no measurement for their anxiety. So as long as they can live and gratify their senses, they think everything is all right. And if there's any pain, then try to cover it over with some drugs. And that way, you can go on with the business of sense gratification and be so-called happy in the material world. Never mind that the very business of sense gratification is distressful itself. And you may cover it over with so many drugs, but the result is you still get the result. You get the result in your next lifetime. But because people don't believe there is a next lifetime, tatsal mange
sarapriyati
nidra. I know that.
Sorry.
That Maharaj Shabdi says that tatsal mange that as long as one is attached to this material world, to this material conception, trying to gratify the senses, which is pretty. Indriya pritya apnoti nasadvange apnoyam asanapi kleshada ashadeha. That somehow or another, if we're indriya pritya apnoti, if we're attached to the sense gratification process, then the result is we get to experience misery, vikarma. The vikarma. Vikarma means things that we're not supposed to be doing. The indriya pritya apnoti, the sadhamanya. So Maharaj Shakti says the person who has some learning, he generally doesn't want to engage in these activities. Why? Asana deklayeshita ashtadeya. Because it produces suffering. And then we have to take another body. And this probably mentions at the end of this verse that parabas kagavulajata. One is considered to be defeated by illusion. So a real battle, according to Pallad Maharaj Shakti, a real fight is not against just the material energy itself, against our present circumstances, because you may think, somehow or another, my present circumstances are not satisfying me. But our real fight is not against our present circumstances, it's about our illusions that surround our present circumstances. I have an illusion that I have to improve my present circumstance, or my illusion is that I want more of it, or I'm dissatisfied with my present circumstance. But actually, our real problem is that we're defeated by illusion. And why are we defeated by illusion? Because we're not interested in atma-tattva, in our real self. We're interested in the present circumstantial surroundings we're under. We take them as all important, rather than the person who's subjected to these circumstances. Paramastava avoda dhata yavana jignasita atma-tattva. So as long as we're not seriously inquiring how to get out of the bodily concept of life, then for that long, our consciousness, our mind, continues to be covered by so much control, anxiety, hankering, agitation. And therefore, we can't see things properly. And as long as our mind is covered by so many misconceptions, for that long, our consciousness remains unclear, and we have to take one body after another. So it's a fact, but by scientific knowledge, they may make some little bit of improvement. You may not have to walk outside and use a latrine. You may just flush the toilet by all their endeavor. Having vast pipes underneath the city and sewerage, wasting vast amounts of water just so that you don't have to walk outside and fertilize the ground out there. So, so much endeavor, and they're proud of it, of the city. They're supposed to pipe for it. People have to are employed in fixing the pipe. So much vast endeavor, but it's useless, ultimately. Because by that vast endeavor, people have no time to inquire about the actual purpose of life. And of course, by the various educational systems, they're dedicated to convincing people that there is no soul. Because we don't believe there's a soul, therefore we don't take ourselves very seriously either, because we have to be the soul. And what's the speaking of the supreme soul? Therefore, we're not taking this seriously, we're caught up in all the temporary things in the world, thinking they're so important. And then when death comes, people are not prepared for it. They can't believe it's happening to them. And John Lennon was shot. He couldn't believe it was happening to him. Because he was a celebrity. We're not supposed to die. But he died. And all his fame and fortunes, he couldn't take it with him. Similarly, this blazing fire of death, we'll all have to suffer it at some time. And then it becomes freezing cold. Therefore, the yogis, they go into the forest and they build fires all around themselves. Now, people will think that this is torture. They'd probably arrest them for torturing themselves. All the white, you know, people in the white coats, come and take them away. How dare you undergo austerities in the midst of all our modern civilization? But they do this because they know that somehow or another has to learn tolerance. And tolerance to such a degree that even when I'm in the midst of burning fire, I'll be able to keep my concentration on the absolute truth. We can't do that, practice that tolerance, by watching television or reading a book about it. It actually has to be practiced. We have to learn tolerance. And then, when it goes freezing cold, therefore the yogis, they go into the forest and go into the ice water in the winter up to their necks in ice water, fanning their rounds. So people think that this is insane. Why are these people torturing themselves? Why are they doing something productive, like going to the movies? Because we have to learn these things so that the purpose of life is at the time of death we're prepared. Not that we're making all kinds of preparations. We're going on so many different trips, just like if you want to go to India for pilgrimage. It's not that the day that you're leaving, the hour before you're leaving, and then you decide to stop making preparations. But some people like that. who rush around the last moment and trying to throw everything to the bag. But they find that it's a hard time. They probably forgot a few things. Maybe just playing also. But generally, make preparations somewhat in advance, at least if you're intelligent. You buy the ticket before you go to the airport. Similarly, we're approaching death. Well, those heavy glasses. You're all going to die. Someone here in the class was arrested as a terrorist. He's threatening everyone with death. We're all going to die. No, we're all going to die. It's a fact. That's the nature. This is law of original nature. I am not responsible. So we should prepare ourselves for leaving the body, because there is a other body. There is a next lifetime, and it's going to be whatever our future is. It's of much more significance than this present lifetime. People are afraid to invest time in this precious lifetime to prepare for their future. But the future is much more extensive than this very temporary body. The future is eternity ahead of us. This body is only, even not even a few moments of eternity. Therefore, to invest this one lifetime in preparing to leave the body is a great investment. That is, a good business person will see what an important investment that is. And of course, for us, we can't do very much. We're not allowed to surround ourselves with fire during the summer and sit in it, because you're on other days, the summer's very cold anyhow. We've got decentralization surrounding yourself with so much fire during the summer. And in the winter, we're not going to go out to the lakes here and bury ourselves underneath. You know, we freeze to death. Before we put our little toe into the water, we die of suffering. Scream, oh, my toe is frozen. Call the ambulance. Or I'm on the phone, call the ambulance, my toe is frozen. So this is not meant for this age. What is meant is to hear and chant. We become so fixed in hearing and chanting that in spite of whatever our mind is putting forward to us, we remain tolerant and go on trying to hear, absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting. And we come under control of hearing and chanting about Krishna, and by His mercy, and by our sincere endeavor, come under the internal energy. Then we become so blissful that we don't even notice the miseries of mutual existence. When Dhruva Maharaj was about to leave this world, that a Vaikuntha airplane came. And he was so ecstatic, he didn't even notice that Death Personified was coming. But Death Personified, instead of capturing him, kneeled down in front of the airplane to offer him respect. And he simply stepped on the head of Death Personified and entered into the Vaikuntha airplane. He didn't even notice. For the second Ariamuni, when he left his body, both illumination and just like illumination and lightning occur simultaneously. So he became Narada Muni simultaneously as he left his body. He didn't even notice how his body he was leaving it. That's complete absorption of Krishna consciousness, and that's what we're striving for, so that even at the time of death, we're not disturbed at all, because we don't even hardly notice it. It becomes insignificant compared to the happiness we're experiencing constantly. And that's possible just by learning how to hear and chant about Krishna with complete devotion and attention. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Seems we ask a question of everything, so silent. Good time to check around. Yes.
And how did this yogis, how did they got free from, how did they get free from ignorance? Because it's so
steady. Well, they were engaged in meditation. It's not like they just dip themselves into the ice water and scream. No, they're engaged in some kind of meditation, maybe on the super soul of Brahman or Krishna.
You mean that usually as an austerity performed with self-tortures, like in the mode of ignorance?
Right? Some of them are, but these were not considered to be in the mode of ignorance. There was a purpose behind it, to learn tolerance.
It's motive behind it makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah, there's a purpose, the consciousness. If they're trying to fix their consciousness by Krishna, and by doing that austerity, they're able to do it, then it's successful. Yena, Dena, Pukari, Lama, Krishna, and Vajra. Somehow or another, fix your mind upon Krishna. Madhmanam, Bhavanam, Bhagavan. Krishna says, fix your mind upon him. Savayana, Krishna, Pudari, Vadeo. Vajram Rishi fixes his mind upon Krishna as the first sentence. So we should fix our minds about Krishna somehow or another. Now, our method is to chant Hare Krishna, try to listen. That's what's recommended. But we have a little austerity, it's not taking grains on a codicil or whatever. Chaturmasya, we always say, oh, how wonderful. They follow these severe austerities. Demon inside of me tells me, I can't do it. Yes.
I realized the numbers in degrees Fahrenheit, it's 107, and it's best that you have a mala with 108 bits in your hand to pass it safely. The 107 to 108, the first time that I realized this.
Good.
Degrees Fahrenheit. For us it's 42 degrees Celsius.
Yeah. I know. That as far as you chant Hare Krishna, that's
yes,
good.
Yes. 108, and you are safe. Right?
And then 9, 10, 11. Keep on. Yeah, I don't know. Somehow or another, chant the holy name, and that's our safety. Yes.
As we were talking about austerity, like in this age of Kali, it's really difficult to control our mind. So, like, His Holiness Jayadeva Maharaj, once I was talking to him, and he said, for the present age, the only austerity is concentrating on the holy name, chanting attentively, you know, and not like going out for like fasting for 2-3 days or like, you know, other kind of activities that the body, because we are so conditioned, so our body is not like adopting different kind
of. Simultaneously with chanting the holy name, we create an atmosphere of which we can concentrate on the holy name. So it's not that we just chant the holy name and forget about everything else. We're not capable of doing that. Therefore, our process is to create an atmosphere so that chanting the holy name becomes as effective. Thank you very much for coming to Rajasthan Bhagavatam. Ki jai. Shri Prabhupada. Ki jai.